think everyone's here. Ready. Good morning. This is Mary Jane Wallner, and I'm the chair of the Fiscal Committee of the General Court. And as chair, I find that due to the state of emergency declared by the governor as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in accordance with the governor's emergency order number 12, pursuant to Executive Order 2020-04, as extended pursuant to the Executive Order 2020-9, this public body is authorized to meet electronically. Please note that there is no physical location to observe and listen contemporaneously to this meeting, which was authorized pursuant to the governor's emergency order. However, in accordance with the emergency order, I am confirming that we are, one, providing public access to the meeting by telephone with additional access possibilities by video or other electronic means. We are utilizing VAST conference for this remote meeting. All members of this committee and the staff of state agencies with agenda items have the ability to communicate contemporaneously during this meeting through this platform, and the public has access to contemporaneously listen and, if necessary, participate in this meeting through dialing the following phone number, 1-800-356-8278. And the six-digit conference code is 125563, followed by the pound sign. Two, by providing public notice of the necessary information for accessing the meeting. We previously gave notice to the public of the necessary information for accessing the meeting telephonically. Instructions have also been provided in the House and Senate calendars. The Fiscal Committee agenda and the website of the Office of the Legislative Budget Assistance. And C, providing a mechanism for the public to alert the public body during the meeting if there are problems with access. If anyone has a problem, please email nhoc@eos.nh.gov. And for adjourning the meeting, if the public is unable to access the meeting, in the event the public is unable to access the meeting will be adjourned and rescheduled. Please note that all votes that are taken during this meeting shall be done by roll call vote. And let's start the meeting today by taking a roll call attendance. When each member states their presence, please also state whether there is anyone in the room with you during this meeting, which is required under the Right to Know law. And I'll ask Representative Weiler to call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wallner.
I'm present, and I am at my home in Concord, New Hampshire, and I'm by myself.
Representative Ford.
Present, and I am also in my home in Eastern New Hampshire by myself.
Representative Weiler, I'm in Kingston, New Hampshire, and I'm alone in this room. Others are in the house. Representative Ober. Representative Hennessy.
Representative Hennessy, I am in my home in Littleton, and I'm alone in the room.
Representative Lovejoy.
Yeah, present. I am at our camp in Peru, Maine, and my husband and son are in the camp.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Present. I'm at home in my study, and I'm by myself.
Senator Susi.
Yes, this is Donna Susi. I am at home in Manchester, and I am by myself.
Senator Khan. Senator Khan, do you hear me? Senator Rosenwald.
Good morning. Cindy Rosenwald. I'm at my second home in New York State, and my husband is in the room with me.
Representative Weiler, can you hear Senator Kahn?
I hear you now, Senator Kahn.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm in Keene, in a room by myself with others in the House.
Senator Morris.
Senator Chuck Morris, I'm in my office in Hackensack, and I am alone.
Madam Chair, all are present.
Thank you, Representative Weiler, for calling the roll. And let's get started. The first thing we have on the agenda today is the acceptance of the minutes of the July 10th, 2020 meeting. Are there any changes to those minutes or corrections?
This is Senator Susie. I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Sue Ford, second.
And Sue Ford, second. And any discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morris.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
The vote is 10 yes and 0 no, and we accept the minutes of the July 10th meeting. Moving on now to old business, we have a tabled item. Seeing no motion, I will move on then to...
Mary Jane, this is Senator Morrison. I did get fucked up. I'm not sure it's working. But in an effort to help Northeast Woodland Charter School, I'd like to remove fiscal item 20029 from the table.
Oh, thank you, Senator Morris. Senator Morris would like to move the item 20-029 from the table. Is there a second?
Weiler seconds.
And Representative Weiler, second.
Representative Wallner, Representative Hennessy also has her hand raised.
Representative Hennessy, yes.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to second the motion.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. So the motion is to remove from the table item 2029 and Senator Morris motioned and Representative Weiler second. I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
No.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy votes yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Lovejoy votes no.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes no.
Senator Susie.
No.
Senator Kahn.
No.
Senator Rosenwald.
No.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
No.
Madam, the vote is 3 yes to 7 no.
Vote is 3 yes, 7 no. The motion fails. And let's move on. The next thing on our agenda we have the three audits. And what I wanted to talk to the committee about was having that audit day. We will have actually by then four audits, and that we were thinking that Friday, October 9th, would be a good day to have the presentations. All of these items, all these audits have been accepted and released and put on file, but we've not had the presentation. Would October 9th work for the committee? I know I talked to the House about it yesterday, and they thought that would work for them. Would the Senate be okay with an October 9th day? It would be just the presentation of the four. There are four audits.
Yeah, I believe, Madam Chair, I believe we discussed it in our meeting, and we thought it was okay. Now, Senator Morse wasn't there, so I don't know what his availability is, but everyone who was on the who was at our meeting thought the 9th was okay.
You, Senator Del Centro, I'll be there.
Thank you very much, Senator. It'd be great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Morse. So on October 9th at 10 o'clock, it's a Friday, we will have the presentations of, by then we will have four audits to be presented to us, and that will be the only business we will have to do that day, is just the audits, just the presentations. So moving on to the consent calendar, our first tab is tab four, and I actually believe that, did Senator Kahn have some questions about this one? There's only one item on this consent calendar. It's 20172, Department of Business and Economic Affairs. Senator Kahn, did you have questions about this item?
Yes, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you. Could we have someone from the DEA come up and speak to us?
Ma'am, there is a representative from DBA with their hand raised. Your line is open, ma'am. You can go ahead.
Great. Hi. Who's with us?
This is Jackie Huser. I'm with the Department of Business and Economic Affairs.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And Senator Kahn, do you have some questions you would like to ask?
I would. Jackie, nice to hear your voice, at least. The question that I have is trying to understand the intent of the transfer, because there is staff as well as programming dollars moving from BEA to employment security from the Office of Work Opportunity. So I'm wanting to understand the full extent to this. Is the intent of the BEA to transfer Workforce Investment Act funds in its entirety to DES for future administration?
Thank you for that question, Senator Kahn. No, that is not our intent. This really is an effort to integrate programs and services that have some duplication of services due to some different strategies on the federal level. But the Department of Business and Economic Affairs will continue to be the grant recipient for the federal FIOA funds.
They're transferred only affects the first level and the local level. There are no gaps located within the workforce opportunity that will be transferred with this initiative.
That got a little bit garbled, but I think we got the gist of it, that this is a line and not a complete transfer. EA will continue to administer some of the programs that it is the grant recipient of. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay.
Further questions?
No, I think that helps clarify my question. Thank you.
Are there others that have questions? Seeing no other questions, hearing no other questions, we have a motion.
Move the item.
I'll second.
Senator D'Alessandro moved the item, and Senator Kahn second. Could I ask the clerk to call the roll?
Representative Ford.
Yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy votes yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Lovejoy votes yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Senator Susi votes yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Moore.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes with a vote of 10 to 0. Thank you, Representative Weiler. Now we move on to tab 5, and this is another consent calendar item, and there are four items under this consent. Are there any items that someone would like to pull off the consent calendar? Hearing none. So we have a motion then on this particular consent. It's tab 5 in your on your
move,
agenda.
Move tab 5.
Hennessy second.
Senator D'Alessandro moved the acceptance of this consent item, and Representative Hennessy second. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Ford votes yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy votes yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Lovejoy votes yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Consent calendar 5 passes. The vote is 10 to 0. And we'll move on to consent item 6. And I know, I think there are a number of these that people would like to have removed. So if you'd like to have one removed, could you speak up and I will mark that those.
This is Representative Weiler. I had some questions, but Mike had got me all the answers, so I have none I want to remove.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Representative Weiler. Any other members want to remove anything from this consent? And hearing none to be removed. Could I have a motion on consent calendar 6?
Senator D'Alessandro moves consent calendar 6.
Ford seconds.
Senator D'Alessandro moves and Representative Ford seconds the acceptance of consent calendar number 6. This is several items on this consent calendar. Any discussion of any of it? Hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Ford votes yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Lovejoy votes yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
Item passes. The vote was 10 to 0. And moving on to number 7, and this is one item, and it's a legislative budget assistant, a transfer of $600,000. And is there a discussion of this item or questions about this item? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I would move the item.
Senator D'Alessandro moves the item, and Representative Ford seconds. Discussion? Hearing none, I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Ford votes yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Lovejoy votes yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susie.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
No.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the vote is 9 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. The motion passes, and the item is accepted with a 9 to 1 vote. Thank you. Now we move into miscellaneous and informational items. I know that there are a number of these that probably have questions on them. So if you, why don't we start by having, if you have a question on one of the informational items, why don't you speak up and tell me now, and I will mark them so that we can, and then we can try to go through them, the ones that have questions, we can try to go through them in order.
Ma'am, Senator Rosenwald has her hand raised.
Yes, Senator Rosenwald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have questions on items 181 and 183.
Item.
Because it's the dashboard and the rate increase report.
Okay, 181. Item 181 and 183. Those are on page 6.
Correct.
And
thanks.
Both are Health and Human Service items.
Yep.
Are there
thank you.
Thank you. We'll get back to those. Are there other items that people would like to have more discussion on?
Madam Chair, this is Senator Kahn. I'd like to we spend a moment on the 171.
The Office of Strategic Initiatives?
Yes.
Senator Kahn, okay. Any other items that people would, and the informational items that people would like to have more information from the department? Okay, I don't hear anyone, or I don't see it. Don't know, Salen, are there any hands raised?
I'm not seeing any other hands, ma'am.
Okay. Then let me just Okay. I think that we will take those informational items. Remember, we don't need to make any motions on these. We just these are strictly information gathering. So let's start with information item 2171. And I think it was Senator Kahn who had some questions about this one. Is there someone here from the office?
Yes, Commissioner, Director Chacoin's on.
Good morning. This is Jared Chacoin. I'm the Director of the Office of Strategic Initiatives.
Thank you for being here. Senator Kahn, do you want to ask some questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and Mr. Chacoin, thank you for being present today. Appreciate it.
Sure.
The LBA office has been helping us understand how the allocation to expenditure differences are. And so this program, Connect New Hampshire, is one of those that has a pretty significant difference between the amount allocated, I believe that was $50 million, and the amount that... and the amount that's been awarded, which is nearly $14 million. And so those grants, those six grants, went to nine towns. But I know that there were other applications for those funds. And given that there's quite a lot that was not allocated from or not awarded from the allocation, did those other grants just fail to meet the criteria that was set up, or why wouldn't all of the applications have been funded and that there's so much remaining from the initial allocation?
Mm-hmm. So I can tell you that disqualified, well, I should start with the total. So we received, in response to the RFP, we received 31 proposals for various projects, 31 projects, I should say. 16 were awarded, 14 were disqualified, and one that was that received a conditional grant award withdrew their proposal. And I can tell you that obviously the reasons under a procurement process that a proposal would be that there would not be an award made is because they did not meet the minimum qualifications of the RFP.
Further questions?
I assume that those applicants were informed of what criteria they failed to meet.
They were informed that they were indeed disqualified and were given the option to reach out to us and that we would make time available to explain to the applicant why they were disqualified. We have had applicants request that information. So we absolutely provide that to an applicant that was disqualified.
And if I could ask one further, you don't...
Yes, sir.
Do you anticipate any further awards being made from this fund?
So I don't believe so. And Senator, one of the challenges with this, with the CARES Act funds, is that these projects, because of the federal law, would need to be completed by December 15th. And we would need to pay for those projects by the end of December, December 30th. So looking at the timeline, I don't anticipate another RFP being issued. Obviously, it would be a decision of the governor's office, but I think with the timeline that we're working with, it would be very difficult.
I agree. Thank you for answering my questions.
Sure.
Thank you, Madam
Absolutely.
Chair.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further questions? If there are no further questions, I have a question. Could you just give me an example of what some of those disqualifying pieces would be, why one would be disqualified?
Sure. One would be if they did not meet the minimum requirement of being able to complete the project by December 15th. That would be one example. And also, applicants are required to submit a list of unserved properties. So we had to actually have a list of properties that would be served. And there were other qualifications.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Have a better understanding. Are there any further questions concerning this information item? Hearing no other questions, thank you very much for coming up and speaking with us. And we'll move on now to we don't need to take any action on any of these items. So we'll move on to item 2181. This is a health and human service item, and this is the dashboard. And I think Senator Rosenwald has some questions about this one.
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. I have a couple of questions, and
sure.
I'm going to try and pull it up on my computer at the same time. First, I have a question. I noticed that the SNAP caseload is down very sharply, about 5,000 cases over the summer. I know that the extra federal assistance for unemployment had to be counted towards income eligibility. So I kind of understand why the caseload's down. But yesterday it was reported that the new six-week, $300 extra federal assistance has been exhausted. And so the average unemployment check in New Hampshire is back to $240 a week where it was pre-pandemic. And so my question is, will those 5,000 people who lost their SNAP benefits, will they be automatically re-enrolled in the program so that they'll start receiving food assistance right away, or what is the process?
I believe Chris Santinello is on the line, and she can answer those questions for you.
Thank you.
Chris, go ahead. Your line's open.
Hi there. This is Chris Santinello from the Department of Economic and Housing Stability. Thank you, Senator Rosenwald, for your question. We had a number of applicants on Friday that we processed, that people that did apply in between, and we did not count the new unemployment allotment, and so I don't have right now the numbers of people that increased, but we do suspect that those numbers will go up, and all of our communications with the individuals that we support, we have told people to reapply. I can't give you a blanket answer as to whether or not people automatically get enrolled. It depends when they came off of SNAP. Because there have been some gaps in there. So we are working to do outreach, and we're working with partners such as New Hampshire Legal Assistance and New Hampshire Employment Security, because they have information also that they share with people.
So it's not an automatic re-enrollment. There has to be.
It would depend on when the person's when they came off of SNAP. So I can't give you a blanket yes or no. Because some people came off much earlier in the pandemic.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, I have a question about the Bureau of Developmental Services caseload.
Yes.
And I noticed that this caseload, which is usually very stable and predictable, was all of a sudden down 40% in between June and the start of the new fiscal year in July. And that really caught my attention. And so I'm wondering why the caseload is all of a sudden down 40%, and how, and if any of the fiscal year 20 appropriation lapsed, and how much of it. Just shocked by a 40% decrease in the number of people with developmental disabilities getting served in 1 month.
So this is Commissioner Chibinat. So the most of the decrease that we've seen is in the ESF program, which is the Early Supports and Services Program. And the reasoning for that was that families did not want clinicians and providers coming into their home during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Is Early Supports and Services, is that early intervention?
Yes. I don't know that it's exactly the same program, but it's exactly what you're thinking it is. It's usually for younger children that need earlier supports due to a DD condition.
So that could account for a 40% decrease in 1 month.
I'm not sure that it accounts for the entire decrease, but we saw a substantial decrease in that population being served year over year, because in the reasons that we were given was that families did not want people coming into their homes for kids that perhaps had underlying conditions that put them higher at risk for negative outcomes for COVID, so they didn't want clinicians coming into their home. I know that we've seen a tremendous drop in that population being served year over year, mostly during the pandemic. So that's what we're attributing the drop to, and we expect that once the pandemic subsides and we have a vaccination, that we will see those numbers go back up.
So when I look at the chart, though, the early supports and services caseload looks like it's down, I don't know, maybe 2,500. But the unduplicated developmental services between June and July dropped by 5,000 people, so about twice that. So I guess I'm still confused about what exactly was going on. And also, I mean, if people didn't want providers coming into their home, wouldn't we have seen that over the spring as well, rather than just between June and July?
I can get a more specific breakdown for you. The unduplicated numbers includes the numbers from ESS in that total, so that's certainly part of it. But the reasons why you're seeing it more in the summer than in the school year. Part of it could be some of those kids could be receiving these services through their school district, and then we see that drop in the school in the summer months. But I can have Deb Sheets, who is not on our call today, break that down further for you.
That would be helpful. And the second part of my question was, did some part of the fiscal year appropriation for BDS lapse, and if so, what was that lapsed amount?
Hi, Senator. This is Karen Rounds. So because that's a dedicated account, non-lapsing, continuously appropriated account, there nothing lapsed out of it. The funds that were not spent carry over into fiscal year 21. I can get you what that number was. I want to say it was something around $20 million in total funds, but it may be less or more than that because of that reduction in caseload.
Thank you. Could you get it to Mike Kane so he could distribute it to all of the fiscal members?
I sure can do that.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Commissioner. Thanks, Karen.
Further questions? Dashboard?
Yes, I have one more question, if I could. That was, I know that this week you were opening some of the transitional housing beds at Philbrook, and we had, I think, renovated up to for 16 beds. Did all of those 16 beds open, or if not, how much? Many.
So the 16 beds are open. We moved 5 clients over this week. We will move 5 additional over on Monday, and then the remaining by the end of next week or early the following week.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Rosenwald. Any further questions? I have a question if there are no other, if other members don't have one at this point. I've had a couple of people ask me about the status of the mobile crisis unit contract and how that's moving along. I wondered if we might be able to get some information about that.
Hi, it's Lori. So the mobile crisis RFP we expect to be releasing in the next 7 to 14 days, next week to 2 weeks. They're developing it now. We just released an RFP on the remaining transitional housing monies and beds, and so then our next phase is mobile crisis for kids, and a variety of other children's system of care RFPs that we're in the final stages of.
Thank you. When would you anticipate those contracts would be awarded?
If the RFP goes out in the next 2 weeks, you're probably looking at closing them 4 to 6 weeks from then. So probably they would be awarded maybe the end of this year or early 2021.
Thank you for that information. Any further questions for the department around the dashboard?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
I just wanted to follow up on that. I didn't quite hear that answer to the mobile crisis center. I thought I heard that the notice of application was that's already out.
No. So right now we are what the RFP that's already out is for additional transitional housing. We'll have a series of mental health and behavioral health, children's behavioral health RFPs going out in the next 2 weeks to include some mobile crisis RFP.
Okay. Stay tuned. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions around the dashboard? Okay, hearing no further questions about the dashboard, let's move on to item 2183. And Senator Rosenwald also asked to have this one removed.
Well, I just wondered if the next time department issues this report, whether they might be able to split out the amount of the rate increase separately from the total provider payments by type.
Hi, Senator. This is Karen Rounds, and I'll let Henry speak to this too, but we went round and round on how we might be able to do that, and because of the way the reports are run, it's a little difficult to do that without just sort of backing into the number, which may not be the exact number. But I'll let Henry speak to more specifics.
Thank you.
Good morning, Senator. Thank you for the question. This is Henry Lippman, the Medicaid director. We'll work to try to give you the type of angle you're trying to look at on it. Also, we have the complexity of both the Granted Advantage and the General Standard Medicaid program.
Yes, I think that would be helpful because for the Granted Advantage program, we will be looking at transfers from the liquor fund.
We'll try to get something for you and the committee through legislative office so everybody can take a look at it.
Thank you very much.
Further questions around this item? Okay, hearing no further questions, I think that was the last item that we had questions about. And we do have the Department of State, State of New Hampshire Department of Safety, Division of State Police audit, which we will hear a presentation on October 9th with the other three. But today we need to accept that item, and I believe that the clerk has a motion around that item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move we accept the report, place it on file, and release in the usual manner. And if you'll permit me, I'd like to have a few comments.
Yes.
I appreciate the fact that we now have an acronym page and that the spelling out of each acronym is in the text two or three times. That's a big help when I go to read these audits that I don't have to keep searching for what the acronym stands for. And I thank the LBA for going back to that in the way that they had always done in the past, but then they left that out for a few audits. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The clerk moved that we accept the audit and place it on file. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Senator DeLisandro, second. And I ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Ford.
Ford votes yes.
Representative Weiler votes yes. Representative Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Representative Lovejoy.
Lovejoy votes yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Senator Susi.
Yes.
Senator Kahn.
Yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Wallner.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the votes are 10 yes, 0 no.
Motion passes, and we will place that one on file. And on October 9th, it's a Friday, at 10 o'clock, we will have a presentation of the four audits that we have placed on file over the last several months, and this one included. Our last item is the date of our next meeting, and Mr. Kane has suggested that we have it October 16th, Friday, and that will give the department enough time to get items ready for us if need be. Does that meet with everyone's approval?
Yes.
That works.
Works for everyone? Great. So our next meeting will be October 16th. Our regular meeting will be October 16th at 10 o'clock, and look forward to hearing all of you. Any further business to come before the fiscal committee? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you to all the members. And thank you to Fallon for all your help, and Mrs. Kane for all your help.
Thank you.